On the show today, we have Chalmers' very own Patrick McElhaney talking about the 6 things standing in the way of data-driven decisions. So really good stuff here from Patrick, so I hope you guys check it out. Awesome to see you broadcast. Well, welcome to our show. You may recognize that I'm in a little bit of a different spot today. We're at the Go West Credit Union Association's MAX convention here in Spokane, Washington. But that doesn't keep us from still doing interviews with fine folks like Chalmers' very own Patrick McElhaney. He is here with us today. Patrick, how are you today? How's it going?
Doing great, Mike. How are you doing today? It's good to see you at the Underground last weekend.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, what a surprise. I mean, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? type of thing. That was really cool. What's that?
It was a great event.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The transparency, the candid talk, and it's almost like raw, you know? So yeah, it's really cool to get that type of responses from such, you know, industry leaders and stuff that are, you know, in the mix every day. So yeah, it was really good. And it's great to see you there as well. Nice surprise.
It was.
Indeed. All right. So today we're talking about 6 things standing in the way of data-driven decisions. And this has got to be a huge deal for credit unions today, because there's so much to think about when it comes to data. Obviously, we can't swing a cat these days without talking about data, or take 2 breaths without talking about data. But before we get into those 6 things, can you share with us how the journey to becoming data-driven will look different for each credit union? I know all credit unions are different, obviously, but from your perspective, what's that look like?
So I think there are many differences, but I'll start with that strategic decision of build, buy, or partner.
Mm-hmm.
So credit unions will need to say, well, am I going to try, and once I've decided to want to use data, do data analytics,
right?
Am I going to build it? So do I need to hire the right people, the right staff, to start building a data warehouse, for example,
mm-hmm.
start building visualizations, to start building dashboards, those types of things. Well, or they can buy it. They don't necessarily have to have the staff, but they can go out and they can buy it. They can buy it from consulting firms. They can buy it from companies like Trellis, for example, or they can partner. They can partner. They can work jointly with consulting firms. They can work jointly from a professional services standpoint. So there's really 3 different paths they can take to start the journey,
mm-hmm.
build, buy, or partner.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it will be very important that, and what will drive it is goals. So very goal specific.
Okay.
Because there are different solutions out there for, you know, what the credit wants to accomplish. Whether you're trying to truly increase member service, if mm-hmm. you're trying to grow that membership base, if you're trying to analyze your loan portfolio, maybe you're a $10 billion credit union that all of a sudden you've reached this threshold where now that regulatory scrutiny changes the game.
And goes up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's it. It's different. But the good news is, if you look back 6 or 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it took about 24 months for a credit union that wanted to implement a data strategy to mm-hmm. get up and running. Now you're seeing that in 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, easily. And it's going to keep getting quicker, I assume, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah, this keeps getting better. So why is being data-driven so significant for credit unions today? So, because obviously, again, you can't take 2 breaths without talking about data today, especially in the credit union industry. And I've heard that credit unions have more data than, say, Amazon does on their consumers. You know, mm-hmm. credit unions have just as much, if not more, data on their members as Amazon does on their customer because of all the transactions that they have. So having said that, so why is this a significant thing for credit?
Well, I could answer it with 1 word. I could say relevance.
Yes.
But I won't stop. How about that?
Let's expand on that, shall we, Patrick?
Well, I'm just, again, going back to the underground, we heard a lot about fintechs.
Mm-hmm.
The fintechs outnumber credit unions dramatically here in the U.S.
Yes, they do.
Fintechs are trying to crack the nut of understanding consumer behavior, mm-hmm. understanding member behavior, so that they can go out and they can offer these personalized, hyper-personalized experiences
mm-hmm.
so that they can start getting wallet share from members. Credit unions, they have to be able to do the same thing. They have to be able to do that to maintain relevance
mm-hmm.
and to compete. Let's think about it. There's not one credit union that I've ever worked with, and probably you as well, that doesn't have a focus on members as their mission.
Right. Yeah.
They are exactly there to serve that financial need, the financial health of members.
Mm-hmm.
And the days of brick and mortar are gone. I mean, there's still a lot of branches, but
right.
to understand the member, as you said, that data, especially transactional data, really can define mm-hmm. and give insights into not just current member behavior,
mm-hmm.
but now you start getting into that predictive. So
the predictive stuff, yeah. Oh my God.
It's very easy to say, okay, this member has a perceived need, but let's start talking about the unperceived need. And then the underlying element of what transactional data and analytics can do to determine an unperceived need for that particular member. So the credit union mm-hmm. can be proactive and offer those same type of hyper-personalized services via digital channels.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that as a member, I'm not, even if I, get marketed by some of these fintechs, I know that the credit union truly understands me and they've offered some added value by maybe helping me understand something that I didn't know about mm-hmm. my spending habits or yeah. my behavior. That is relevance. And that is staying relevant in those members' lives. And data can play a key role in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that predictive stuff I just find so fascinating and how that works and how, again, like all this stuff, how it's going to get better over time as like the AI or the machine learning, as that yep. gets smarter and smarter, all of this stuff is going to get so much better. So yeah. So that said, why isn't every credit union data-driven? Because this sounds like a pretty sweet, rosy picture for credit out there to really leverage yeah. their data. So why aren't they all data-driven? What's going on here?
Well, it's not easy at times. And I think, you have to think about people, you have to think about process,
mm-hmm.
and you have to think about technology.
Yeah.
So do you have the right people in place? Do you have the right skill set in place? Do you have leaders that are willing to create a culture of data analytics?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you have the staff that can actually build warehouses, maintain data warehouses that can do visualizations, processes in place, and we'll get to those processes and we start talking about the six things.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a mind, it's a culture, it's a shift. You have to yeah. get rid of data silos, process, and then having the right technology. It is an investment,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and it requires resources. Smaller to medium-sized credit unions don't always have those resources.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Although the good news is, we are starting to see solutions that are coming down in a price point that will be available to smaller credit
unions. That's good news. Yeah.
Which is great because they need it just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think that is kind of that people process technology is figuring that out.
Yeah.
Takes some time. And what you can't do is try to do it all at once because then you start to boil the ocean and you want to make sure you do that in chunks.
Yeah.
So to me, that was probably one of the biggest barriers.
All right. And so let's talk about some challenges here, because obviously you kind of alluded to a few challenges right there mm-hmm. in your response. So there's six data challenges that we talked about at the very top. So what are you seeing out there as far as six data challenges? I don't know if you want to list all of them, but I mean, if you want yeah. to just kind of run through them real quick, I mean, Sue, as sure. brief as you can. So, and then kind of the why. So yeah, I'd be very curious to see these. Obviously, we'll have them listed in the show notes for everybody, but...
Yeah, so you're going to test my memory, aren't you?
Yeah. You have to go through all of them, Patrick.
I'm joking. Okay.
There's only six. Come on.
Six of everything.
Not seven, six.
So, yeah, don't say seven. So first of all, data isn't necessarily a priority for an organization. And I say that because many credit unions up until just recently, have had some good runs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lending's been great.
Yeah.
They couldn't lend fast enough because of right. the deposits. And so, hey, things have been pretty good. Now, all of a sudden, with that has changed, as you know. People are starving for
it. It's like money. Completely
flip-flop. The interest yeah. rate, that interest rate environment.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never made data a priority because they didn't felt they needed to.
Huh. Interesting.
So, because things are running smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's also maybe a fear of not knowing where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So I think mm-hmm. data as an organizational priority is one of the challenges.
Okay.
So no data culture. When you think about that culture, that means it permeates across all levels of the organization that we are going to use data to make strategic driven decisions. And we are going to use data because it's going to help grow membership.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to really increase the relevance mm-hmm. that we have within our membership's life, our mm-hmm. members' lives. So that creating that culture just doesn't exist. And if you don't have the culture, then really it's not going to work.
As yeah. That all sounds like step one right there. Getting that culture exactly. set. Right. Exactly. Right.
I think there's it's a data, it's a strategy. So if we've decided we're going to build this culture, what's the strategy? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that everyone is a data steward of this particular, you know, of the strategy that we're implementing? Okay. So ensuring that people are using it in the right way, in the right fashion, making the right decisions by using the data. It's just not just kind of this hit or miss. Hey, we've created this data warehouse. We're going to give all this data to people. Then they go off and they kind of do their own thing. And it's just all not integrated. Mm-hmm. So it's that lack of strategy that can get in the way and just not make it effective or really cause some roadblocks for credit unions to be successful.
Gotcha.
Data silos is another big one.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. Yeah.
We've all been part of organizations where, you know, marketing has their own data. Finance has their own data.
Mm-hmm.
Sales has, which is the most important, by the way, sales has their own data.
You got that right.
And you'd be surprised, the simple question of, well, how many members does your credit union have? Your data in finance will likely be different than the data that marketing has. Okay. So we have created data silos, and those silos don't talk to each other. It's very ineffective. It's very inefficient, and you're not truly getting the right answer. So data silos and eliminating those data silos is key. And that's a huge barrier.
And that could like really snowball into some really poor decision-making down the line in other areas of the credit union, right? If you have this disparate information, that could really cause some problems in other areas.
Absolutely. Because you have marketing going down one path. You could have finance saying one thing. You could have the product area saying one thing. It's not aligned. And so that's a big, big problem within the credit unions, is that data silos and making sure that you have one common data language that you're using to make your decisions. You're using for your, not just you're looking at your current trends, but your predictive trends as well.
Yeah. Good point. Good point.
Bad data. Data is only as good, you know, the results coming out are only as good as the data coming in.
Yeah.
So it's ensuring that, and there's a lot of great solutions out there that look at data to make sure that, you know, there's not duplicate social security numbers. I mean, all the things that lead to bad data is really important. So it's really making sure there's good data quality. There's a good policy and procedures around data quality. Because it's like any, put really, if you put bad gasoline into your car, it's not going to perform.
Just got that right.
You have to have clean data. I think finally, it just kind of comes down to skills and training, ensuring that the folks at the credit union that are charged with data and charged with this data strategy have the right skills and technology, the skills and abilities. I mean, think about, do I know Power BI? Do I know Tableau? Do I know how to build visualizations? All the stuff that is encapsulated with running a data organization, take about skill and competency.
Yeah.
That goes back to, well, do I bring the people in or do I partner with someone that can help with that?
Yeah, that's the big decision right there for sure. But I mean, actually it sounds like it's a pretty good problem to have, you know, if you're at that point and if you're at that juncture. So how can a credit union benefit by recognizing these challenges? I mean, I think we both know the answer, but I just want to get your take on that.
So I think they'll benefit because we go back to that. They're driven by members. You're going to understand your membership better. You can really drive more relevance. That, we talked about that perceived and unperceived need. I think looking at future trends for the credit union. So what kind of strategic decisions do we need to make from maybe looking at the loan portfolio, pricing, all sorts of decisions can be made with this data that can prepare you for what's going to be happening into the future.
Yep.
I think that's really important. And then finally, credit unions need to do this to compete with fintechs.
No doubt.
Because that's just vital. You're not going to keep up with your competition, whether it's the larger banks or it's fintechs or any of these other, you know, if it's Chime, whatever you want to call it.
Neobanks.
They're out there and they're using data and they have the resources to do data analytics to provide a better experience for consumers.
Yeah.
Credit unions need to do the same thing. They have to make them relevant.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, and SoFi is a primary sponsor of a very large football stadium in Los Angeles for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
They're doing all right. So
yeah, they are.
Something right.
And you know, this thing with SoFi is, and this is what all these other fintechs do, you know, they start with one vertical, right? What did SoFi start with? They started with student loans. And now look at them.
Yeah.
they even use the term members.
I know. Yeah. That was mentioned at the conference at the Underground this weekend too. They talk about that. Yeah, big time. So yeah, so there's lots of issues out there, but at the core of it, yeah, data is so vital today. So anything else to wrap up? I mean, I know you guys have a white paper, how to build your data maturity plan. So yeah, we can include that link in the show notes too. So, but anything else here, Patrick?
Yes. So you can go to Charlens.com and find that white paper.
Right.
I just think it's really critical that credit unions, number one, they look at the white paper, they make that decision. They need to, we want to be an organization that focuses on data. Just do it one step at a time. You can't try to do everything all at once.
Right.
Don't boil the ocean. Say, okay, we need to make sure we have a data governance in place. We need to make sure we have data management in place. We need to understand, do we have the right people in place, the right process and technology? Do it, you know, one step at a time. Find someone that can help.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, get the template.
That is
so
important. There's a lot of good industry experts out there. Mm-hmm. Charlens being one of them, that we can help credit unions through this process, where to start and how to get there.
Yep, indeed. So, good advice, sir. Good advice. All right, Patrick, well, I'm going to let you get back at it. Thank you so much for your time today. As always, great stuff here. I love how you listed, how you broke it down into the six data challenges. So it's really, that kind of paints a really clear picture for a lot of credit unions out there and what they need to do and what they don't need to do. So yeah, so all righty, sir. Thanks again, sir. Always appreciate it. And keep up the good work there at Charlens. All righty.
All right. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you too.